Good evening, everyone. I think I'm on now. Well, once again, we'd like to thank you. Heather couldn't be here, unfortunately. She hasn't been well. She's 7 months pregnant, and she had, seven kidney stones. So it makes it very hard for her, and they can't do much for her. So she's in considerable amount of pain. She's just living on painkillers, and we're just praying that the Lord will continue to take care of her until the baby is born, and they can do something about the kidney stones. She was looking forward to come. Last time we were here, just before we went back to Ghana. We came here, and she was looking forward to come, but unfortunately, she couldn't come. So she sends her greetings to the saints here at Braesdale. I just wondered if we take a moment to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and just look at the two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. Now, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in a body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So we make the aim to be found pleasing to the Lord, because there is a day set up that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And each one of us is going to give an account of how we have been using gifts that the Lord gave to us. The God we serve is a very generous God, as we know. He did not only provide us salvation, but salvation came along with what we call a spiritual gifts. There is a talent. There are talents in the Bible which every individual has it, whether a Christian or not. People have good talent that it can be, that some family could be, all members of the family will be musicians. They have that talent in the house. They might be basketball players, football players, or whatever talents the family may possess or individual may possess. That is natural talent, natural ability that anyone could possess. But when it comes to spiritual gifts are already been given to those who have been born again. They are spiritual and from the Lord, and they are administered by the Holy Spirit. And each believer has spiritual gifts. Now, God not only saved us, but he also gave us those gifts to use to serve in the local assembly, and at the same time to store up treasure up in heaven. And Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, he challenged them. And he did not say, "You are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ," but he said, we, he included himself, said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word "must," as we know, it just doesn't leave you with any option. You have to. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there. And Paul said, and because of that, we should be found, do whatever we have to do to be well pleasing to him. Now, when it comes to the work or the way we use our spiritual gifts, some can use it in such a way that it only brings glory to themselves. You don't have to look very hard. Just look at the television, turn your television set this evening, and turn to the religious Christian session or channel, and you will see some pastors or supposedly miracle workers, and they will point out to some of the work they are doing. Every emphasis is on I, me. Everything is that they have power to do this, they have power to do that, and the glory who gets the glory? They got it. They got a glory. But Paul is not saying that we should get a glory, we should work and receive the glory to ourselves. After all, it is not our work, it's the Lord's work, and we should not work to see, receive the glory to ourselves. We say we are going to receive a reward from the one who commissioned us to, or who gave us the gift to work in our beginning, and he is the one who also is going to be rewarding us. But an interesting thing about how the Lord is going to reward us, if we have time to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 11 to 15, there you will find that they are given six building materials. There's a gold, silver, and precious stone. There's a wood, hay, and straw. And these are used as materials, but if the emphasis is not on the material side, but the spiritual application that each one of us can build using some of those six building materials. And if you put them to test, as the Lord is going to be doing at the end of our lives, when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will realize that some of the materials that some of us Christians are building with, we're not going to stand the test of fire, of the Lord's test. And so it is important that we should be found pleasing to him using the materials that will last, that will earn us a crown of a reward that we can cast it at the Lord's feet. If you notice carefully, Paul said here, said, we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be received or be judged for things that are done in a body. You see, the Lord is not going to judge us based on how successful we were during our Christian life. He's going to judge us based on how faithful. Remember the story of in the Gospels, the Lord said, "Good and successful servant," right? No, good and faithful servant. If he's going to at the judgment seat of Christ, if he's going to judge us based on how successful we are, then I think I will do everything to be successful. It doesn't matter if I have to step on a brother or a sister and suppress them to be successful. I will do it because the Lord is going to judge me based on how successful I am or how successful I'll be while here on earth. But thankfully, it's not like that. He's not going to judge us or reward us based on how successful we are, but how faithful. How faithful. You can be successful without being faithful, but you can never be faithful without being successful. So when you are when you are faithful to him, then you are also successful in what he has given you to do, you and I to do. And that's where Paul was striving for, to be found faithful and not just successful. And so all of us, the challenge is to you, and the same challenge is addressed to me, that we should be striving to be found pleasing to him. After all, we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Would we be hearing good and successful servant, or are we going to be hearing good and faithful servant? And I believe these are some of the challenges that challenge Apostle Paul to strive to do, and minister to many people under difficult circumstances. As we know, he and Barnabas were the first missionaries that were commended from the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And they traveled to regions that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sought to point him to people far and one priest that he was a debtor to, not only to the Jews but also to the barbarians or to the Gentiles, and he put his life on a line just to be found faithful and to finish his course and his race well. We all have that challenge, the same challenge we have tonight, that we should strive in whichever way or that the Lord has called us, and whatever gift He has given to us, spiritual gift He has given to us to use, we all need to strive to be found faithful, not successful. Some of us are doing it, in a, you know, doing some small. They think there's a small work, but in the Lord's eyes, whatever the Lord has called you to do, it's not a small work. If you are faithful, it is not a small work in the Lord's eyes. You know, we know that we have troops in all over the world serving, some in Afghanistan, some in Iraq, and some in different countries. Well, they are there, and you know, and yeah, there are people here and back home who are supporting and helping them with materials they need to carry on with the ministry. All they care for is that they have been called to the front line, and all they care is to use the materials available and use their training to serve. And the same way is in the Christian life. Some of it, the Lord has equipped us to be on a ground level in the home, and to pray and to support the work of the Lord around the world. That is the way He has area He has called you. All He asking you to do is to be found faithful. And if He has called some of us to be on the forefront, front line, all He is asking us to do is also to be faithful and to use the materials being given to us to use wisely. After all, both you at home and for those of us on the front line, we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be given account of how faithful we were during our stewardship. So tonight we are going to be walking you through, just giving you a little bit of idea of perhaps some of the things that you've been praying for, because we sense some, we sense that you pray for us, and you certainly do pray for us and support us. And we are going to be walking you through the work that the Lord has been doing through us in Ghana, and perhaps we might encourage you to pray for us and pray for the work and pray for those who come to know the Lord, that there may be more assembly testimony established in the country and more souls may be saved and added to the kingdom of our God. So if we can get the lights off, we can go through the... Okay.
Please, my name is Okudia Musa, and I want to memorize the, I'm 12 years old, and I want to memorize the whole book of James. So I want to start from James.
The boy here that you just see is 12 years old, and he's out there memorized. So what he means is that he's going to recite, the whole book of James. We, in Ghana, we have the population of the country for about 22 million, and most of the can everyone hear me? Thank you. Most of the population, it is estimated about half of the population is under 25 years old, and we have a good opportunity to be working with a number of teenagers and children, and we have about 80 of them that we are working with, and all of them have been saved, including this young boy. And if you hear his name is Prophet Musa. Musa is an Arabic for Moses. He's from a Muslim family. And he and his sister both have been saved. And the older sister, he's not in fellowship in Arabic. His sister is in fellowship. We have seen a number of people, a number of them coming to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And one of the things that we've been challenging them with is to memorize the Word of God. And the Bible said, I wed, I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we took that challenge to them 2 years ago. We started with just one verse a week. But we took it last 2 years ago
that each one, the whole church memorized the whole book of James. Some memorized just one chapter, some two chapters, some three, four, and but two and others, seven of them, they memorized the whole book and recited them word perfect. And then after that, we went to first year last year, and again, seven people memorized word perfect. Right now, they are doing the book of Ephesians, and some of them have completed the whole book of Ephesians, and they are going to have an award on the 15th of this month, which is in the Congo industry. So this is what we're doing, and as a result of that, no more of them have come to know the Lord as their first and know Him as their first Lord and Savior. We not only teach them to memorize, but we also, after the memorization, the cut off, we take about a month or two to go through each verse so that, and when we do it, you see the Bible becomes the verse that they've already memorized. When we try to begin to explain to them, it becomes very lively to them because they already know it. Now we explain to them what they already mean. So this is what we're doing. I'm just taking a short moment to show you. And if you like, okay, before we can look at the New King James Bible, James chapter 1, you see, in the
James chapter 1. James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. For let the Lord brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field will pass away. For no sooner has the sun withered with the burning heat than it will set the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful apparent perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his fatigue. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approached, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and insights. Then when desires are conceived, he gives birth to sin and sin. When it is full grown, bring forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own words, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that you might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all wickedness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness from the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doer of the word, and not carelessly deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, that one will be blessed in what he does. But if anyone among you thinks he is a religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that one religion is useless. Pure and wonderful religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James chapter 2. My brethren,
working on it.
just turned 13. Yes. I think I'll leave these over there as we go through the slides. Ghana is in the country, as you can see, is in the western part of Africa. We share the border to the east, to Togo, Benin, and then there's a country here, Nigeria, besides in the eastern part of Benin, and then Burkina Faso to the north, and then to the west is the Ivory Coast or Cote d'Ivoire. Back in the, and here, as you can see, there's a large lake. This used to be a man-made lake in the world called Lake Volta. It was constructed in 1966. Ghana has a large hydroelectric dam which produces electricity for the whole country. But last year, the country plunged into crisis, and this year we have an effect. As you can see that the lake takes its sources. There's a few rivers. There's one here, there's one there, and there's another one up here. They take their sources from Burkina Faso, northern country, northern part of Ghana. And then they block them so that they can have enough water to produce electricity. Well, Burkina Faso build their own dam and also they tap on the waters to produce irrigation. To produce cotton, they produce cotton, and the cotton needs a lot of water. And because of that, we don't have enough water to generate electricity. And so Ghana is now reeling for hydro, causing the economy. Some of the factories have been closing down because they all relied on that hydroelectric dam, and it's not able to provide. That is a statistic, it's a basic statistic about the country. The population is about 22 million, and the Twi is the English and Twi. English is the official language, and Twi is the language that we speak, or where we work in this Ashanti region, is the language that most of the people speak. Ghana export cocoa and gold, and the population in Kumasi is about 3 million. And the climate, as I said, here is noisy and hot. And there's cocoa drying. We get chocolate from cocoa. It's any village. They produce them in villages. Anywhere is a common people can produce them, plant them, and then that's where they can get some income. And this is a semi-dry cocoa to your left, and then fully dry, which is ready to be sold to the world market, processed and be sold to the world market. As the title says, there are poor roads everywhere. It used to be that about 25% of the country's roads were paved. For 20 years, the country was under dictatorship, and because of that, economy was bad, and no roads were poor, and now the current government is doing much, much better, but they still have a long way to go. There's a road network, constructing road network everywhere, and the path that is already completed, it looks like this. This is a part of the road being finished, and they are really nice to drive on. But I tell you, the many parts of the country, you just like this. There are construction everywhere. These are main road linking the whole country like this. And sometimes, good part of the road you've been driving, and then you have to come to an abrupt stop because cows be crossing the road, or chicken, and so on. So the journey that could take you, or can take you here, about 2 hours, can take you about 5 hours in Ghana. And you're faced with all kinds of obstacles. Here they can stop, and there will be a long convoy where the, you know, the construct on one side of the road. Still talking about poor road. Just give you an idea what it's like to be driving. I was in this vehicle, and this is a road where we build our house. Our house is probably a few blocks from here. And it's becoming very difficult, whether it's a dry season or a rainy season, to travel through the country. And because of the potholes, there are many accidents everywhere. And a vehicle like the one we had, it was a Mitsubishi, here, it could not handle the road. So we were constantly on, you know, fixing it in the workshop. Here's a transmission, and they're working on the engine, and could be in the workshop for about 2 weeks. We couldn't find, sometimes we couldn't find parts to fix it. Well, there's a Ghana. The Lord's name is everywhere, and that means many people call, you know, consider themselves as Christians. They might not know what it really means to be saved, but they are nominal Christians. And they use the Lord's names to apply them to their businesses, like one here in this minivan that he used for his business. He wrote that, "Am I not sin against you?" Or how about Christ the King hairstyle? Now, I don't know the kind of hairstyle the Lord Jesus Christ had, but I think this, business person tend to know that. And how about my Savior radiator repairs? Or Jesus is coming soon, prepare to meet him. Now, you see signs like this all over the country, and that sometimes there might be different words, but it tells you that you can talk to anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ in Ghana, and they will listen. Ghanaians are more polite about the things of the Lord. If you give a gospel tract to a police officer or a custom officer, they will ask for more, but what they do with it is the question. Is our niece, incidentally, last Sunday morning, on her way to Sunday morning meeting, she was robbed at gunpoint in a taxi, and they took a cell phone. Even up to now, she's still being shaken by the ordeal. Well, she has a small business. She cooks in the house and put it in, this container, rice and chicken, and it sells on the roadside. She put a kiosk on the roadside and she sells it. But the name she chose for the business is what intrigues us. The angels are watching. Like just like the one that you saw early on. For those of you who are familiar in Canada, we have a store, Canadian Tire. Well, we saw the sign, like a Canadian Tire sign in Ghana. And we're praying that the store will be built, that we can buy parts for our car or for our house. There are no spare parts or anything, but we don't know how this sign ended up in Ghana. There are some beautiful creatures, whether in the zoo or in the wild, you can find in Ghana. And here are just samples of the creatures. What you see here is a peacock, male peacock. It's a beautiful bird. How about chameleon? Shedding his skin. A bat. They eat mosquitoes. And how about a lizard? How do you look so friendly? You look like a smiling. Yeah, these are male lizards. They're harmless. They're all over the place. And how about this cockroach? Brushing his teeth before I use it. You see, they're all part of God creatures that we learn to live with in Ghana. Sometimes they are nuisance, but we live with them. Yeah. How about an anthill? Yeah. And you can find them. And the way ants build is very interesting. But you have to be careful if you're going to build a house to make sure that you don't have one of these in your property. because it can cause you, pain. It's full of termites, and they can chew every tree, untreated wood they find in the property. The funerals is a big thing in Ghana. It's always public. And as you can see here, you can see the contrast here. Here, most of them are dressed white, meaning that the deceased was a Christian, a professing Christian. So they have a big send-off with testimonies and singing and dancing, as you can see what them are doing here. But on the other hand, if the person, the deceased, was not a Christian, this is how they dress. You see, they are mostly red and black, and all kinds of drinking and suggesting, the contrast is very obvious. And because of that, when funeral ideas, we do have a good opportunity to talk to people, because that's when they are mostly thinking a lot about where one is going to be for all eternity. The Lord provided us some funds to start building a house for ourselves last year, so this was the process. Very tedious. We started with purchasing two lots and hired a bulldozer to clear the land, and then we started we're making bricks. We bought a locally made brick machine. All the bricks up there, we made them. And we embossed our names on each brick. And we did that to keep people from stealing the bricks. As you can see here, all the work is manual. Very hard work. And we have to be there. If the contractor was not available, then I have to be there. Otherwise, some of the workers will steal raw materials that we have for the work. So these are just stages, and I'm just going to run you through quickly. For the pouring the concrete, and you can see the house going up. And as I have an excavator filling in, so that we can level it with. We use a lot of iron rods, or called rebars. This is the front elevation of the house. Now, if you can see here, we see all the wood, or the plywood and the beams that we use for the house, the roofing and so on, were treated. It's been treated here because of the termites that we showed in the anthill that we showed you early on. They would chew every wood and cause you havoc. So this is a different part. From different angles, that's a house right there. There's a four-bedroom house, plus a library, and a one room that we use for library and also as a study room. There's our well. We dug about 40 feet before we got water, and then we dug 5 more feet. And as you can see, them so one of their bodies inside there digging. And the way they count is that every one foot, they will tie the knot. So as they send a bucket down, they can tell how many feet, they count how many feet they dug. There's a septic tank, digging a septic tank here and pouring concrete inside the room. And that's a plumbing work and tiles in one of the bathrooms. And there's a garage here. And our kitchen up to now is a dead floor. We left it as you see right here. And we have a 10 foot wall around the property as it stands right now. But there's more work needed to be done. We have a pump that we submerged in the tank and the well. So the pump pumps water to the tank on the roof. And then we have a pressure pump to distribute water into the house. And as you can see here, we call it burglar proof or iron fence. And every window and a door will have one of these to keep thieves away from the property. Stealing is a big thing in Ghana, and people have no heart for thieves, as you will see in a moment what I mean by that. Corruption is also there. We hired this man who, Daniel, he worked for a company which also received a contract from the hydro company in the country to bring Hydro into the neighborhood, and we approached him. He took our money, but he did not bring our contract to his office. He pocketed the money, thousands of dollars in his pocket, and it caused us a whole lot of grief. He did illegal connection for us, and he almost got us into to trouble. So we have to bypass him and buy our own meter. We went to the hydro company, bought our own meter and wires that we already paid for, and had them installed just before we left. So that's the house as it stands, with the way that's how we left it. We have a large, a lot, one lot. We use one lot. The other lot is still available that we're hoping to build 2-bedroom for as a guest house for future missionaries. And as the Lord leads, we hope to do that when we go back. And so that's the back of the house, and there's a front view. And we have two dogs, which we name Coco and Mocha. We name this one Mocha because I am chocolate, and my wife Heda is vanilla. So, and we have a baby coming, so definitely our baby is going to be Mocha. So we named the dog as Mocha to remind us of our relationship. Now what you're seeing here is an armed robber being killed, and they set him on fire. They put a tie tube on him, pour some petrol, and light him. And where they've been, we used to live just a few blocks, less than 2 blocks from this road here. And we parked our car behind where the body has been burned, and we walked just a short walk behind this house here. There's a school there, and that's where we have all our meetings, night and Tuesday night for Kids Club, and that's where we have all our meetings. Now, I'm Robert. People are fed up nowadays because the justice system has been failing a number of people, so they're taking the matter into their own hands, that if you get caught stealing, you get killed, and they set you on fire. By the time police come, nobody knows what happened. Yeah. These are my parents, my father and my mom. We would ask for your prayers for them. They don't believe that they are saved forever. They profess salvation, but they don't believe that they are saved forever. They believe that they have to endure to the end before they can be saved. And I wish that they have the assurance of salvation. Our younger brother, whom you can see him right here, Daniel, he's saved, and he has assurance of salvation. He's in our fellowship. Oh, that's a Daniel right there that you see there. He saved. As our niece Janet, she passed away last year. She had an abscess in her liver. And unfortunately, she did not survive in the village. She died. This is a language we work with. The tree Bible. We have some tree Bibles back there in a display. On your way out, you can see there's a small display there. You can pick up a tree Bible and look at it. What you read here is Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. It says, Na Yesu kan se, Moma mufra no kwain, na mu isi wan minchen ba kwain, na yinu se na ostra hinani wong. And Jesus said, Let the children come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. A bulk of our work has to do with children, and we love them, and we like to influence them for the Lord. And here's a little boy that we found. I was showing this picture to Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth earlier on. This is a boy that was severely injured, and we had to take him to the rush him to the hospital. But the sad thing is that we have to pay before they can operate the child. And if you care to see the kind of injury, see me later on, and I'll show you what we mean by the injury. But we have to pay before we can operate him. Pay is a Ghana's, the health care system is a pay as you go. And so 11 months later, we visited him, 2 years old, and he showed us his tummy. He's now a healthy boy playing soccer. Children in Ghana are mostly neglected, so it is easy to influence them, particularly with the gospel. And this is what we have been doing. We go to villages, visit people. This woman here was bewitched, neglected, and was left to die. But we visited her, preached the gospel to her, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed her sins, and she left the shrine. And she now has a bright testimony in the village. So whenever we go there, she's about over 2 hours away from where we are. But each time we go there, she's very happy, and the villagers are very happy to see us. She has a good testimony there. What we do on Saturday is that we take some of the teenagers, like the boy that was reciting the book of James, and a number of them, we take them with us on Saturday during the dry season. We go out and we distribute gospel tracts, and we give them opportunity to share with their own peers and explain the gospel to them. And it's the way to expose them to evangelism. Then we set up to preach the gospel. We set up, you know, chairs and so on. We have our own generator, a portable generator and a sound system. And we set up, and then in the evening, we go and we preach in open air. And we could have hundreds of people standing there, and we often preach from the charts. And then people ask questions. We often preach from this chart and other charts. We always want to make sure that people know where they're going to be for all eternity. And we do have a good responses. We use different charts. As soon as I came over, I had a dinner with Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth. Uncle Dave just asked me, do you know, do you have assurance of salvation? I said, yes. And what verse do you know, do you base on? And I had to quote a verse. I guess that was, I think I passed the test, Uncle Dave. Yeah, I passed the test, right. Yeah. We always make sure that people know where they stand for eternity, where they stand. We don't want people to guess, I think I'm saved, I hope I'm saved, maybe I feel I'm saved, maybe I'm saved. We want people to know that they know for sure that they are saved. Like the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 25. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. So we use different charts to preach the gospel, open air. And there are many challenges to face you out there. All you see around is lights while as you're preaching is all bugs. Now, we use this. They can be nuisance. You'll be standing preaching and you go like this, trying to get them off your face. But the idea is that bugs, even bugs have enough sense to come to light. How about people? The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, in verse 12, I am the light of the world. And we often challenge people that even bugs have enough sense to come to light. How about you? Are you still in darkness, not coming to the light of the world? So we use whatever opportunity we have to preach the gospel. We go to schools. In Ghana, they have what they call in public school, they have a curriculum called religious and moral education. And all the students, they have to learn religion. And it's open to someone to come once a week to teach the Bible. If we don't go, the Muslims will go, or the Mormons. The Mormons are very active in Ghana. They will go and promote their hideous doctrine. These are some of the people in our meeting. And as you can see behind there, is a radio antenna or radio pole. We also have a radio ministry where we preach the gospel once a week for half an hour. And we have some responses now. Our brother Daniel, our co-worker from British Columbia, he's a dear brother. He looks after the radio. Two of us, we work the radio. This is the school where we meet. As you can see, the environment is very primitive. In a given Sunday, we will have anywhere about 80 to 100 people in this facility. The big part of the meeting is our Sunday school, where my wife Heather looks after it. Now what you see here is the those who memorized the book of James. We had a picnic and we took them outside Kumasi. And to be a candidate for this picnic, you have to recite at least one chapter of the book in order to qualify to go to the picnic. and we had a beautiful day. They are planning to go there next week for to reward those who participate in the book of Ephesians. There's food provided, and it was beautiful day. Everyone enjoyed games and everything. And the ones who completed the whole book were given some gifts, including a certificate of completion. There are some kids being born into our assembly. We call them biological growth, and we pray for more.